From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our focus today, North Carolina House District 19, which encompasses the southern portion of New Hanover County. Republican Representative Ted Davis Jr. has served that district for 3.5 terms. He is now seeking his fourth. In 2012, he was appointed to finish out the term of Danny McComas, who stepped away to take the helm of the North Carolina Ports Authority Board of Directors. Davis went on to win the seat in that fall's election. This year, he faces challenges from Libertarian David Perry and Democratic candidate Marsha Morgan. Today, we'll meet the candidates in alphabetical order, beginning with the incumbent. Representative Ted Davis, welcome to Coastline.
Good morning, Rachel. Thank you for letting me be here.
Good to have you here. And today's interviews, of course, are pre-recorded. Ted Davis, most of this campaign's focus, both yours and your opponent's, is on the issue of drinking water and emerging contaminants. In fact, you are senior chair of the House Select Committee on North Carolina River Quality. There is an argument regarding the legislation that was passed to address this issue that the governor already had the power to shut down Chemours. And this is something that was also part of this recent legislation. He already had that power through the Department of Environmental Quality. Opponents of the new legislation say if it came to a court battle, judges tend to side with more specific laws. And so this could actually further protect other polluters because this recent legislation targets Chemours and PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl compounds. Is it possible that you are protecting other polluters with this new law rather than adding more teeth?
Not at all, because one of the things we looked at in enacting this legislation was you cannot direct something at one business by itself. So there's nothing in the legislation that mentions Chemours, because once again, we don't have the authority to do that. We would lose a court battle because it's discriminatory against only one business entity. So we were very careful to try to give the governor the authority that if he felt like under the circumstances in each particular incident that it was justified, that he would have the authority to shut that particular business down. So I think it gives him more teeth rather than taking anything away.
Another point of contention between Republicans and Democrats on this issue is funding the North Carolina Policy Collaboratory instead of DEQ and DHHS. The collaboratory, as we know, is headed by Jeff Warren, former advisor to Senate Leader Phil Berger. DEQ is the regulatory agency, so why wouldn't legislators fund, why would you fund research that takes part in a separate body, adds another layer, and doesn't have any regulatory teeth? Only DEQ can regulate.
That's an excellent question. And people need to understand, because it is confusing, right? And I appreciate the opportunity to explain. And looking at this legislation, you need to understand it takes cooperation between the Senate and the House to get anything passed. And looking at this legislation, I was the one that was pushing the funding for DEQ. The Senate was pushing for the collaborator to take over the responsibility for the unknown or the emerging compounds. And in order to reach that resolution that enabled us to enact the legislation, both sides, it was give and take. The justification for turning the unknown compounds over to the collaboratory was because the collaboratory would be working with universities such as Duke University, NC State, where, as you know, Dr. Canapi was the man who discovered Gen X. All of those experts, all of the academia support, all of their machinery that they have will be able to allow them to look at and try to find out the compounds that we don't know about. Now, having said that, once a compound is known, it would then go over into the purview of DEQ because they are responsible for monitoring and they are responsible for the enforcement, as you have said. When I took over that committee, which actually I asked the Speaker of the House to form that committee because I did not feel like there was enough being done to address the Gen X problem. So I went to him and I asked him, please let the House show everyone we are serious about this. We want to try to resolve it as best we can and address it. And he was good enough to do that. He named me senior chair. And we had multiple committee meetings where Dr. Canapi came. We had other experts to come. We had chemists. I mean, it was unbelievable. We had DEQ to come, Department of Health and Human Services to come. Because I felt like, Rachel, how can you address a problem unless, number one, you find out how did it happen, what caused it, and look at the ways that you can possibly address it. So one of the there were two things that I found out that were very disturbing. Number one is that nobody really knows the effect that Gen X or any of these other emerging compounds have on a human being because there have been no tests. There have been tests on lab rats and things like that, but not a human being. And that's scary, not to really know what effect it could have on you. The other was you can't monitor what you don't know. So all these people that were saying, well, give all this money and give all these people to do monitoring won't do any good if you don't know what's in the water and you're looking for. So I feel like and agree with what was done because it will put looking for the unknown with the chemist, the experts, to be able to do that using the equipment that they have, and also funding DEQ, which, by the way, everybody keeps talking about what we didn't do for DEQ. Nobody mentions that we gave them over $5 million as initial funding to address the Gen X issue, of which funding was included for them to hire new positions that they say they need. Nobody mentions that, Rachel, because there's so much false, misleading information out there. And that's why I ask the people, go to see the budget. The numbers don't lie. They're there. And people need to know what the truth is. So when they vote, they can vote their conscience based upon facts, not upon a bunch of campaign rhetoric that's not true.
Well, one of the other criticisms around this legislation is the mass spectrometer that was recently funded was not the high-resolution tandem liquid chromatography mass spectrometer. It was a lower-end version that only detects this certain type of compound. And if you're talking about this issue of emerging contaminants and the fact we know Gen X is only a tiny percentage of that chemical load in the water, why wouldn't you fund the highest-end equipment you could find? It on the face of it looks like you might have been pandering to industrial lobbyists.
No, not at all. It's very simple. Like I just said, we have turned the responsibility for the unknown compounds over to the laboratory. They have that type of spectrometer. We have put monitoring in the hands of DEQ. The spectrometer that the funding went for DEQ does that. There's no reason to give DEQ that high caliber type of spectrometer when they're not going to be responsible for discovering the unknown compounds. And that's why the money for the spectrometer that was given to them is exactly what they need to complement the other equipment they have to monitor the known compounds.
So this has been pretty widely reported, I think first reported by WRAL, Preston Howard, president of the North Carolina Manufacturers Alliance, also happens to be former director of the Division of Water Quality, wrote to state lawmakers and said broader testing of the water supply will, quote, almost assuredly reveal that there are many, many chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and other consumer products in those water supplies, end quote. He warned you not to open a Pandora's box, and on the face of it, it looks like legislators complied, and people are saying, so why were industrial lobbyists able to help craft a bill that would benefit them when we're talking about something as basic as the drinking water supply?
First off, I don't know Preston Howard. Second off, I don't ever remember meeting Preston Howard. And also, Preston Howard had no influence whatsoever on what I did as far as what I was trying to do in that particular piece of legislation. I know in all transparency that he did write that letter, and I know that he may very well have talked to other legislatures, but once again, it had no impact on what I did.
Fair enough. You are running a campaign ad on this issue that says you've empowered the governor to shut down Chemours, the company that excreted Gen X into the drinking water supply. And you say in this ad that's something that, quote, Marsha Morgan has failed to do. Marsha Morgan and her liberal friends prefer to play politics and stall. What do you mean by that? Considering she's not in office, she doesn't have any policymaking capability. What are you saying there?
Certainly, it's very simple. I asked during these committee meetings that I've had on river quality, and DEQ was there. Rachel, I asked the Department of Environmental Quality, what would it take? What does Chemours have to do for you to go forward and shut them down? And they never did anything. And yet Chemours, time after time after time, was putting Gen X back into our rivers, emitting it into the air, which, as you know, falls down and gets into the ground, and that's why our groundwater is being polluted. It was fascinating. One time we had a scientist come in, and we had a map of all the wells that were contaminated. And then he put a map of where the wind blows. And it was amazing to see the correlation between the direction of the wind and where these impacted wells were. And that's why I asked DEQ, how much more are we going to have to put up with before you guys pull the trigger and do what you need to do and shut these people down until they can guarantee that they can operate their business without contaminating our water? They never did anything.
Can they do that?
Yes, they can do that.
We also hear about the Hardison Amendment, which, you know, essentially says the state agency can't regulate to more stringent standards than the federal agency.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I made one of the presentations for DEQ to explain what they would have to do to shut somebody down. It's a very lengthy process. They have to notify them of their violation. Then the business has X amount of time to correct the violation. If they don't, then they can do a cease and desist order to shut them down. They can appeal that to as an administrative hearing. Then they can appeal that to court. It's a very, very long, drawn-out process. So that was one of the things why I was hoping, by giving the governor the authority, rather than waiting for DEQ to have to jump through all these hoops to shut them down, that he could go ahead and do it. Because once again, the legislature can't shut Chemours down per se. We have to do things across the board as it relates to all businesses.
We're all aware that the political climate, the public conversation, has become even more polarized than the last time we talked about campaigns in an election season 2 years ago. What do you think you can do, if anything, to move the ball down the field in terms of bringing back civility, compromise, negotiation?
Let me go back to the previous question, because I didn't answer it, everything that you asked. What I'm saying in that ad is, you don't have to be in office to start a petition. You don't have to be in office to ask the governor to use his authority to shut a business down. You can do that. Marsha Morgan could join my petition. She could sign my petition. She could start her own petition. I know the governor was down here to help her with a fundraiser recently. She could have talked to the governor then and said, you know, governor, you really need to do this. People down here are really worried about what's going on and the failure of the business to be able to allow to continue on rather than being shut down until the problem's fixed. None of this has been done. That's all I'm saying. She has just as much right to do what I'm doing as a citizen. You don't have to be an elected official to do that.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Representative Ted Davis, Republican incumbent in North Carolina's House District 19. There are 6 proposed constitutional amendments on the November ballot. They have faced public criticism, even battles in court. All 5 former living North Carolina governors, 3 Democrats, 2 Republicans, have spoken out against the 2 amendments that would transition judicial vacancy and state elections board appointment power to the legislature. Other critics of these amendments call them naked power grabs, a chance to take power away from the executive branch. Is that a fair characterization? Particularly when it comes to the power to appoint judicial vacancies.
Let me put it this way. I support the amendments. But the thing about this, Rachel, and I've talked to many people about this, the great thing about these amendments is so many times the legislature is criticized because they enact things that people don't feel like they've had enough input in. Well, here is a chance to look at things that the Republicans would like to do, and rather than going and doing them through the legislature, we are actually going to give the people who elect us and who vote in this state the right to say, you know what, I don't like them all, or I like some of them, or I like them all. Whatever you want to do, my advice to everyone who might be listening is to please do your research, find out what they're about, and if you don't like them, don't vote for them. If you do like them, do vote for them. But just vote your conscience and appreciate at least the fact that you're having the opportunity to call the shots on whether or not this legislation is enacted through the Constitution.
In 2016, because of all of the municipalities in your district that came out with resolutions against offshore drilling and seismic testing, you then said, I now adopt that position. I oppose that activity. Are you still there?
Yes. I've never openly come out and said that I'm in favor of offshore drilling. There was a lot of talk early on about it, and the thing that concerned me the most was you needed to look at what possible environmental impacts could it have. Plus, what was the state going to get out of it? I mean, are we going to get any income from this if it was to happen? And I actually went to some presentations that were given by oil companies as well as were given by the environmental community to try to get a better understanding of what the impact might be. And no, I'm not in favor of it.
Representative Ted Davis, Jr., thank you so much for taking the time to share your views.
My pleasure, and thank you for letting me be here.
When we come back from this break, we'll meet Democratic challenger Marsha Morgan. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn.